Good morning again. It's good to see all of you. I want to welcome you again. For even those who are watching, we're glad to have you along. I'll be reading from the first book of the Bible called Genesis in chapter 1 this morning. The book of Genesis, which means beginnings. The book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. The Word of God reads, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." Verse number 2 says, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." And I want us to notice this morning that when the Spirit of God moves, that things change. Now, we all say we'd like to see things change, right? Change for the better. We're in agreement that we're headed down a path that's not particularly looking good to us. Many of us would like to see things change in our personal life, right? We'd like to see things get better, wouldn't we? We'd like to see things get better in our churches, you know, our families, and all areas of our life. The Word of God says that when the Holy Spirit moves upon something, that things change. And if we will obey that moving of the Spirit and be obedient, that things are going to change for the better. The moving of the Holy Spirit, that's what we need in our country. We need politicians, they're going to fix things. We need new programs. We need more money. Listen, we need a moving of the Holy Spirit. What do we need in our churches? We need the moving of the Holy Spirit. In my personal Christian devotion, in my life, what do I need? You know, we can think of a lot of things, but we need desperately the moving of God's Spirit. And then we'll experience some change, some lasting change, some change for the better. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, for your Spirit that you send, dear Lord, to initiate change, whether it's by conviction, dear Lord, and warning us to avoid the path of destruction, whether it's to encourage us, to empower us and give us life and light. Lord, we pray for a new filling of the Holy Spirit. We pray for this great nation that the Spirit of God would move upon us like you did the first day when the Spirit moved upon the face of the deep and things begin to change. Lord, we could see things change in our country if the Holy Spirit would move upon us. And we plead, dear Lord, as God's people today, that the Spirit would move upon this nation. And Father, we pray that the Spirit of God would move upon our churches. We quit trying to do things on our own with programs and what we can figure out. We pray, Lord, that you'd move in our personal lives as we try to live a devoted life to you, that you would empower us with the Spirit, that we would do those things prompted by the Holy Spirit, and then we'll see real change. we'll see peace and happiness. We'll see light and life and immortality. If there be anyone here today lost and undone, I pray the Spirit prompt and lead them to repentance and give them the invitation to life and light in Jesus Christ. I pray that you would edify the believers here today. Encourage us, dear Lord. And give us some real, meaningful encouragement and help that life-giving Holy Spirit be renewed within us. In Jesus' name, amen. The moving of the Holy Spirit is what we need in our country today. The Bible says here that there wasn't much going on when God created the universe, that things were just in disarray. And then it says here in verse 2 that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, and then things change. You know, after the Spirit of God moves here, there is order. God is a God of order. Amen? He does not like all this disharmony and unorder and all this craziness, you know, anarchy and all that. God is not for that. And He has tried to bring some order into this world by ordaining government and authority, the rule of law and those things. But God is a God of order. You can bet on that. He is consistent in His Word as a God of order. He knows what He's doing. He's not like a lot of people. It's just here and there and everywhere, and one way one day, the next way day somewhere. God is consistent. He is a God of order. You can count on that. There is order after the Spirit of God moves. Keep that in mind. Things change. There is light. Right? You know, a lot of people are in darkness, and we're tossed to and fro. Which way? Where is the way? Show us the way. You know, there's a lot of people who are honest and sincere, and we seek God's guidance. Lord, show us the way. But the Bible says we've what? Turned everyone to our own way, hadn't we? And we've got off course. And we need the light of the Holy Spirit to guide us. We need some guidance, folks. Our ways are failing us. We don't know how long things will continue at the rate it's going, but we know one thing, we're headed down a dangerous path. We need some light. Amen? Light shows you the way to go. The Holy Spirit will bring light. He is not about darkness. Our God's kingdom is a kingdom of light. It's not the kingdom of darkness. He's against darkness of this world and all of that. We need a movement of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, after He comes to, there is order, there is light. We can see where we're going. And then there is life. Amen? Life. God is about life. You know, we can have real life. We say there's real life in Jesus. And sometimes maybe we don't show that in our Christian walk. Sometimes we forget that we are now having real life and life more abundant. Life and more abundant. Abundant living life in Jesus Christ with light to light our way and to guide us. The Holy Spirit will do that. There will be no lasting or eternal value of the things that we do without it prompted by the Holy Spirit. You need to understand that. Now, we've got a work to do. We have a role to play. We have a lot of hard work to do. St. Paul said, I labored more abundantly than they all. He knew he was a man who worked and knew about working. We have to do some things. It's just that way. But these things that we do must be inspired by the Holy Spirit. In other words, we don't just, hey, we'll do this and do that. We can figure these things out. We can put a program here to do this. We can buy things, fancy gadgets and things, and get it done. Yeah, we can do some things. We can provide some, we can feed some hungry people. We can do some good works. We can do some things. But none of the things that we do will have any lasting effect without it is prompted by the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, we have to know something about the Holy Spirit. If we're going to do the Lord's work, it must be inspired and prompted by the Holy Spirit. Elsewise, we'll be doing things on our own. We'll be very busy. But we'll busy ourselves to death and accomplish nothing of lasting effects with eternal effects upon other people and what's going on in our world. It must be inspired by the Holy Spirit. The book of Genesis says here, as God created, there's not much. You know, the earth is without form, and then things change when the Spirit of God moved. Remember that. When the Spirit of God moves in your life, you can see some real change. You can see some productive change. Well, I try and I try. I've counseled with people before with struggles in life. I try and I try and I try. I believe them. I believe them. You know, it's, people try, but when the Spirit of God will move upon us, then things can get done. I counseled a man one time, was in his dying days, and he was lost, and he said, "I want to be saved," and he said, "I am trying," and I believed him. He was trying, and he was serious. I said, "Hey, you can't save yourself. This is God's business. You have to let Him do the saving." Have we gotten to the point that we really think we can drive this car ourselves? Don't you think our country is there today? Don't you think that our country has gotten to the point that where we're smart enough, we have enough money that we think will fix anything, and we have essentially told God that we can drive this car ourselves? You know what? God will give you the keys if you want to try that, but you're headed to a dead end. And that's where we're at. We are no longer inviting God and saying, "God, send the Holy Spirit to give us some light and some life," because we're driving without any headlights. We're driving it, but we don't have any headlights. We can't see where we're going. In our personal lives, you know, we think, "Well, I've got this mastered. I've been saved for a long time. I know all about this and all that. I think I can sort of coast on in. I can make it from here out. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for getting me this far. And I kind of think I know enough now that I can make it the rest of the way." Have we said that in our personal lives, maybe? Or maybe we don't come out and say it like that. You know, the Bible says that the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." It doesn't mean that he come right out and said, "Hey, there is no God," but it says, said it in his heart. Are we saying these things in our heart, and have we quit relying upon the Spirit of God to move us, to move upon us, to give us some direction, you know, to encourage, to give us some power? Power to give us some life. Have we in the church world today? You know, this country is littered with churches. There is a church on every corner. A few years ago, Brother Don and myself made a trip to Memphis, and we made a shortcut. I got off, seemed like on Canada Road, went all the way back around to Walnut Grove through territories I'd never seen. And, you know, people in Memphis are moving out of Memphis. And you know what? Through there, there was a church on every corner. And I'm not talking about little country churches. I'm talking about churches, big churches, and bunches of them. There are churches all over this country. And yet we're losing the country if we hadn't already lost it. Amen? Aren't we losing this country? We've given up. Could it be because with all our programs and all of our things, we have lots of things, that we sort of think we can do it on our own? Have we lost our humbleness and reliance upon the Holy Spirit of God? Are we telling God in our heart, maybe we don't come out and say it, we profess we love the Lord and we love Jesus, but sometimes we think we can drive the car. Lord, you've helped me this far along, and now we know how to do things. Have we told God in our hearts, we know how to do this now? We really don't need the moving of the Holy Spirit to give us some light, to give us some life, to give us some power. We have relented. We have given up. You know, we are in surrender. You know, we're almost in defeat in our country. We have lost our influence. Now, I'm not trying to be too hard on the churches. The church is the greatest institution on this earth. I'm merely trying to inspire us in all churches to rely more on the Holy Spirit. That's what it's about. You know, we can really have church when the Spirit moves. We can have some meetings and we can do some things and we can busy ourselves, but not much going on. There was a time in the Gospels at the pool of Bethsaida, and the Bible says there was a group of people who hung out there because, unbeknownst, you know, at different times, no rhyme or reason, an angel would go down there and stir the water, and then the first one who got in that pool was healed no matter what he had. See, the Holy Spirit's got to stir things up. When the angel stirred the water, something happened. And I'm going to tell you, when the Spirit of God moves upon the face of the deep, moves in your life, moves upon the church, moves upon this nation, we can see things happen. We can see things happen. We need the Spirit of God in our nation. We need the Spirit of God in our church. We need the Spirit of God to give us some light, guidance, and life, and some power in our individual lives. We need the Spirit of God to move. We do. All right. Word of God teaches that. The book of Acts, it's called the Acts of the Apostles, but really, that whole book is really about the Acts of the Holy Spirit, right? The birth of the church, the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and then the rest is history. But it doesn't happen until the Holy Spirit moves upon His people. The church is born and great things are happening. And we're here today, 2,000 years later, as a result of the Holy Spirit moving that day in Jerusalem. And continually been moving down through the 2,000 years of history upon people, including our forefathers and us. Amen? We know something about the Holy Spirit. Let's rely upon Him. The apostles after the resurrection. Now, the day of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit is 10 days after Jesus ascends. What they say. after the resurrection and in one of Jesus' last meetings with the disciples, he has instructed them, this is what you're going to do. Sometimes we think, well, we're going to do this or that, but sometimes God says, this is what you're going to do. I'll tell you what to do and what? When to do it. God will tell us what to do and when to do it. And as they have probably that last meeting there, the disciples are all excited. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? See what they're thinking about. Don't think about that. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons the Father's put in His hand. You don't study about that too much. Just do what I tell you. And what He tells them here in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 6, 7, and 8, when they therefore will come together, they ask of the Lord, saying, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They were a little narrow-minded. They thought the kingdom of God maybe was restricted to the nation of country of Palestine and Israel there. But Jesus said, I got news for you. The kingdom of God is going to be much bigger than this little kingdom. He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in His own power, but ye shall receive power. You can't do this without the power of God. You cannot do this without the Holy Spirit. The sooner we recognize this, the better. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. After the Holy Spirit moves, you're going to be able to do some things that you didn't think you can do. You're going to be able to do some things you've never been able to do before, but only after the Holy Spirit is moved upon you. And you shall be my witnesses. You're going to do this because you're going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, the moving of the Holy Spirit. 10 days later, chapter 2 of the book of Acts, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and sat on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit is freely given on the day of Pentecost. The disciples, starting with, is like 120 disciples and followers of Jesus. The Spirit moves upon them, and they were dwellers of Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these that speak Galileans? And how we hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Pergia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, Crete, strangers of Rome, Jews, proselytes, Cretes, Arabians, we do all hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, "These men are full of wine." But Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said, "You men of Judah and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you. Hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it'll come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh." Under the new covenant, Jesus said, you wait for this. There will be the giving. The Holy Spirit's going to move and be freely given to God's people. Under the old covenant, the Holy Spirit was not given unto all people, but unto special people for special purposes that God seen fit. But now we're living under the new covenant to where God gives us what is called the down payment or the earnest of the Spirit, the prized possession, you know, until we receive the final prize. But until now, the Spirit of God, and that is to aid us, to help us, to empower us, to give us light, to give us wisdom, to give us understanding, to lead us and to guide us. And He will not lead you astray. This is that which the Scripture prophesied. I pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. God says that in these days, we're living in the last days. The last days began when Jesus ascended. And we're living in that period, and His Holy Spirit is freely given. It's just that people have quit listening to Him, you know. But the Spirit of God, the power of the Spirit of God has not been diminished whatsoever. The Spirit of God inspires us. Inspires us. Spirit of God convicts us. You know, we don't even know we're lost. That's a fact. We don't know we're lost until the Spirit of God moves upon us, and we call that convicts us of our sin. What's that mean? Let us know I'm lost. You know, we tell children, that's often children will start asking the question, when am I going to be saved? And the easy answer to that is, you'll know. Well, how do you know? The Holy Spirit of God will let you know that you need to be saved. That is God's business, the moving of the Spirit. And we can count on that, can't we? We can count on the Spirit moving and doing His job. The Spirit convicts us, gives us light, gives us life, and gives us some power. We need to know something about the power of God. We need, God has not changed. The things of God have not changed. He has not given up His throne. There is power in the Word of God. There is power in the work of the church. The church is set apart to do work in this dark world. And He has empowered us to do these things. You know, when we try it on our own, we're driving the car on the headlights. We're doing something without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit of God. Our country is at a crossroads. We have tried and tried politicians, and they have failed us. We have. What we need is the Spirit of God to move upon this country. We need the salvation of our country and our leaders. We need people to be saved. That's what we need. You know, the church, we need to claim our rightful position. You know, we don't need to surrender the authority of God. You know, Jesus said to Peter and to us, I have given you the keys to the kingdom. The keys to the kingdom is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not fancy things and programs. It is the old-time gospel of Jesus Christ. He has given that to us. We need the movement of the Spirit of God in our country. We need the movement of God, the Spirit of God in our churches, throughout the land, all of our churches. We need a renewing of the Holy Spirit. We need in our personal lives the moving of the Spirit. I wonder if we're praying as a nation, as a church, as individuals, God, send the Holy Spirit to move in my life. Oh God, take care of this, take care of that. Lord, send a refreshing movement of the Holy Spirit in our church. Send a refreshed movement of the Holy Spirit in my life so I'll have the power and the light and the knowledge and the wisdom to do this and quit expecting God to do every little thing for us. When He has equipped us, who has given us at our disposals the tools and the weapons that we need to fight this battle. And we've said, well, basically, God, do it for us. Do it for us. Come on now. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters and things changed. When the Spirit of God moves upon our nation, things will be changed. When the Spirit of God moves in our churches, things will change. When the Spirit of God moves in our personal lives, in our families, things will change and it'll be better. You know, after the Spirit of God moves upon the face of the water, things got better. You know, there was light. Wow, there was order. There was life. Amen. These are good things. It's all good when God moves upon us things. When we say we want things to get better. I just want things to get better. We need the movement of the Holy Spirit. I feel lost and undone. I just want that feeling of lostness to go away. Come to Jesus. The Holy Spirit moves upon your life, gives you that invitation, you know, and things will get better. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters and things got significantly better. Not just a little better, but it got better. Things changed. John and Brother Gary, if you get ready, we're going to close out. I'm running out of time. Jesus said in John 6 and 44, no man can come to me. You see, we think sometimes, well, I'll get saved when I'm ready. I had a lot of people tell me, well, when I straighten up, I'll come to church. I'll get right with God when I get ready. No man come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. We don't just decide I'm going to be saved. You know, that's kind of like in the book of Acts. There was a group of people who had joined the church, and one of the apostles come to them and said, y'all been saved and baptized in the name of Jesus? No. They were baptizing with the baptism of John. He said, we ain't even heard. We ain't even so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. You're not going to be saved without the Holy Spirit move and convict you of your sins. And He will do that if you'll seek the Lord, and you'll know it. It'll be business between you and God. If the Holy Spirit convicts you, that still small voice that says, hey, something is not right between me and God, that's your invitation. That is the Spirit of God moving upon you. And that's your invitation to take advantage of that, and then things will get significantly better in your life. The moving of the Holy Spirit. The book of Revelation, chapter number 22, verse number 17, the Scripture says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. So see, the Holy Spirit convicts us. The Spirit invites us. That's you being prompted. Salvation is available to you. You can be saved today. The Spirit is revealing to you that you need to be saved. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. The church, you know, we have traditional invitation. The church invites you. We want you to come to Christ today. And we work in tandem with the Holy Spirit. We want the Spirit of God to invite you. And we stand in tandem with the Spirit of God, inviting and pleading people to come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth come, and let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The moving of the Holy Spirit. I want us to stand together this morning. We're going to invite you. If the Spirit of God is moved upon you, and that's your invitation, and we plead with you as a church today to come and accept that invitation to follow Christ. Come to Jesus today. If you find yourself and you feel like, I've been trying to do it on my own, maybe you need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, give me a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Move. May the Spirit of God move upon me and give me some direction, some light, some guidance, some power, and some life. Because I feel like I'm almost dead. Spirit can give you some life. If we feel like as a church, maybe we need to rely more on the Holy Spirit. Maybe we need to come pray about that. Prompted by the Holy Spirit, make your moves today. Brother Gary.